Although we're not able to gather in one place for the worship service, it is truly precious and gracious we're able to gather our hearts at the place of worship on this fifth Sunday of the Lent. I spent 2 years in India serving a Korean church. The members comprised mainly of the workers dispatched from Korea for 3 to 5 years and their families. The church was renting space for the service from a church in India, so the members of our church were able to worship after the main church finished the morning service and left the church building. If the church needed to meet at hours other than the designated hour once a week, the church gathered at the place where I lived. I lived in a house which used to house a family of the pastor of the church, who left on a 2-year sabbatical to America. So the house had a living room which could hold about 20 adults. After several months of serving in India, there was one thing I learned. One of the struggles the members had in terms of their faith was that they thought their faith decreased because they lived in simple ways after they went to India. They felt that the worries and anxiety made them depressed, unlike when they were in Korea. They felt that God was not close to them and far from them. Even though they had the residence provided by the employer and good schools their children could attend, they felt they were no longer grateful. While I listened to the members about their struggles, I felt that their lives back in Korea may not have matched their faith and told them the same. In Korea, they were placed in the environment where they would be busy at church from early in the morning in various prayer meetings, Bible study groups, and volunteer opportunities. They could have felt that their faith was strong from actively participating in such programs at the church. It is difficult to say that the personal relationship with God is strong from spending a time in the church building or going to the church often. The knowledge gained from going to the church for a long time cannot lead us to holiness. Although the members cannot continue in the same way they had in Korea while they were living in India, I sincerely hoped that they would experience God at the place where they were brought by God, and that the time there would be like the time in the desert. In this age, while we're suffering from COVID-19, our time could be filled with grace and gratitude if we stay in close communion with the Lord. A Reformed theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, wrote a prayer like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We cannot escape the present difficulties just because we're the children of God. Even as we struggle with the present pain, we can find a way to not lose heart and to live as the children of God. We can do so by receiving wisdom and power from the Almighty God who still loves us. Because God's wisdom and power are with us, we're not let down by the present pain. Rather, we're given a chance to overcome the present pain, to pray to God, and to meditate on the words. Through the present conditions, God brought us closer to Him and gave us the time to look to our family and friends who we love. Although the world struggles with pain and suffering, we're going through the Lent by the church calendar. Through this time, God allowed us an opportunity to examine where we are in terms of our spiritual roadmap. Jesus Christ, who started His ministry, walked towards the cross at the end of His life, one step at a time. Even though Christ knew that He would be humiliated and whipped by the people and put to death on the cross if He were to head to Jerusalem, He did not turn from the path of cross which would be the endpoint of his roadmap. Today's scripture starts in verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." The verse starts by saying, "When Jesus," and the original words state, "Kai egeneto," which means, "Then these things happened." This is an important expression showing a transition from the preceding chapter to the next fact to be presented in the new chapter. This suggests that after Matthew 25 covered the kingdom of God, a new series of events about the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus is about to be uncovered. The book of Matthew repeats many times that Jesus finished speaking. Matthew 7:28 reads, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching." Matthew 11:1 reads, "After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee." Matthew 13:15-53 reads, "When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there." Matthew 19:1 reads, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan." The expression in these verses that Jesus had finished speaking was used to transition to the reactions of the people after Jesus had finished speaking, or to show that Jesus finished speaking when he was moving to a different location. However, the same expression in today's scripture was used only to show that Jesus completely finished all that he had to say on this earth. This shows that Jesus finished his ministry and entered into the area of ministry as a prophet by sacrifice on the cross. Jesus, who finished speaking, prophesied that he would be nailed to the cross to bring salvation for the humanity. Prior to today's scripture, there were three prophecies on the death and resurrection, and those three prophecies have similar structures and details. First, in Matthew 16, Jesus prophesied about his death and resurrection. Peter then rebuked Jesus, and Jesus scolded Peter. Matthew 16:24-26 reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?'" Jesus taught Peter, who thought of Jesus as the Messiah to bring political liberation, what it means to follow Jesus Christ by saying that suffering and death on the cross is the completion of God's will. It is to deny oneself. Denying oneself requires active commitment to firmly reject temptations and desires of the flesh, which was enslaved in sin. Taking the cross means accepting the sacrifice for the calling that is given to us. It cannot be said there is any meaning where there is no sacrifice. At the time of Jesus, the cross was not a symbol of glory, but a Roman method of death penalty, of carrying the wood on which the prisoner would be hung and walking to the place of execution. Carrying the cross, which was a symbol of death, signifies not only the suffering from following Jesus, but also the heart dedicated to the point of death. The Lord paradoxically asked us to give the only life which is the most precious to each and every one in the world, There's nothing more precious than one's life. However, the Lord taught that there is a life everlasting beyond the life in the flesh, which is limited. Second, Jesus spoke in the way as in the first prophecy in Matthew 17:22-23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. Jesus Christ said that he would be killed by people, but be raised in 3 days. However, the disciples were filled with grief. The reason they grieved was because they were focused on the death of Jesus. Because they evaluated Christ from their perspectives, they could not help but be filled with grief. The disciples could not think deeply about the resurrection of Jesus. The word grief has the meaning of sadness, pain, and anguish. The disciples were focused on the death alone and showed their anguished heart, full of disappointment and sadness. The book of Mark, which witnesses the same event, shows that the disciples not only could not understand, but also feared to ask. The disciples who heard this prophecy about the suffering fell into pain and became fearful, but this lasted only a moment. They still viewed Christ as a political Messiah and even asked, "Who is bigger in the heaven?" To the disciples who asked this question, Jesus said in Matthew 18:3-4, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The word change in "unless you change" is not only turning in a physical direction, but also changing the heart and the ways of behavior. These words, "to become like little children," were not meant as in becoming immature and childlike, but as in becoming absolutely dependent on and obedient to the parents, and as in completely accepting the teachings of the parents. While the disciples understood the kingdom by the principles of power and authority of the world and asked, "Who is higher, greater, and larger?" the Lord reminded that heaven is a nation based on love, humility, service, and obedience. The heaven is where God reigns. A great person is someone who can acknowledge God's reign, deny oneself under God's reign, and humble oneself. Thirdly, when Christ prophesied that he would be humiliated and whipped to be killed on the cross and then to be risen on the third day, the mother of James and John took her sons and asked Jesus. Matthew 20:21 in the second half reads, she said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." The disciples who could not understand the Lord's prophecy of suffering and were crazed by the worldly success put their mother forward to have their places be secured. Christ called not only these two disciples, but also the other disciples who heard about them and were angry to say this. Matthew 20:25-28 reads, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The fact that not only two disciples acted out of greed, but also the other 10 disciples were angry, signifies that there was no one who understood how Jesus felt in anticipating the death on the cross. Christ clearly said that he did not come to rule over the world and to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ used the word service, which has the meaning of a person following instructions of the Lord, a person serving at the dining table, and a butler. The Lord's coming as a servant signifies that the Lord came to the earth in the image of a slave, a clerk, and a butler to bring us salvation. The Lord came to this earth as a servant to set them free from grips of sin. The people who were destined to die from sin and gave us the true freedom. The Lord desires for us to be equipped for the kingdom of God and become the disciples to guide the way to the true freedom for the souls lost in the lives oppressed by sins. The Lord endlessly spoke of death and resurrection. At the same time, but the disciples could not understand what Jesus was saying. The Lord endlessly invited to deny oneself, be humble, and serve. Yet the disciples could not escape from ignorance, greed, jealousy, and anger. They wanted to rise to the top, and they were engrossed in reaching the high place to be served. Although they knew in their head that their greatest glory was in suffering with the Lord, they were enslaved by the secular values when facing the reality to suffer with the Lord, and they were calculating which would be more profitable to them, just like us now. 2,000 years ago, when there was no one to comfort the pain suffered by the Lord, and even God was silent, if we had been there beside the Lord, would we have understood what he was saying? Even if we had been there 2,000 years ago, we would have been no different than the disciples. At this time of pandemic, when it has become appropriate for us to find quiet time to meet with God, we would need to accurately and exactly recognize what the Lord wants from each of us. In the life lived so far, who did you serve, at what time, and in what form? In the life lived so far, who were you served by, at what time, and in what form? We have been served by the Lord from the beginning. 2,000 years ago, the Lord served by saving us who were destined to condemnation with the cup of suffering and death. This is real. Therefore, the self-denial, humility, and service that we profess must be real as well. Because of social distancing, we now spend much time with our family, probably more than ever before. There are many benefits from being together, but there are also many difficulties from being together. As we spend longer time together, do we not find ourselves unable to accept our family, who we are to love and serve, or even treat them as our enemies? I would like to share an embarrassing experience I had. While I was living with my younger sister, my sister and I were working as pastors in children's ministry at Sunday school. On Sunday night, we were busy showing off to each other the lovely images of the children at the Sunday school before we fell asleep. While we lived together, we tried to find time in the evening for family service. When we were getting along, we could have worship and holiness, but when we had a fight from being unable to empathize, we would stop the service until we were able to restore our relationship. Although we knew in our head the words to not sin, even when we are angry, and to not let the sun go down while angry. There were times that we would go many days without any worship. At that time, we did not know that our inability to empathize in something small resulted in our inability to worship. As I came to recognize that this phenomenon was being repeated once every few months, I realized that I was evaluating my sister from my bigoted perspective, which was tainted by her past experience, premature interpretation and judgment, because I have spent a long time living with her. I cannot remember specifically why we had stopped the family service. However, I still remember now, after many years, that I was unable to accept my sister, who was walking on the same path of ministry as I was, that I was unable to empathize with her, that I was unable to serve her, and that I was insistent on my own ways. Although I'm embarrassed in remembering this experience, it was an important experience from which I learned how great it is to be able to worship together, having worship to be our lives, and having our lives be our worship to God does not happen naturally. It's possible only by denial of oneself, humility, and service. When the Lord was speaking about how he would be made to suffer on his way to Jerusalem with the disciples, the high priests and elders of the church who should have been busy preparing for the Lent had gathered. The verses 3 to 5 read, "Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people." At the time, the Jewish leaders were not centered on God, but more dependent on the Roman authorities. They wanted to hold on to the status quo and secure the power to influence. Therefore, they colluded to capture and kill Jesus, who was like a nuisance. Today's scripture describes the strategies of the high priests and elders as a scheme. This word carries meanings of bait, trap, snare, trick, fraud, lie, craft, stratagem, deception, and plot. The religious leaders were crazed over evaluating Christ by their standards and killing him, worried that their strategies would be interfered by a riot among the people. The Lord unwaveringly walked on the way to the cross from the beginning to the end. But the religious leaders, dressed in fancy costumes and superficially equipped with the shape of holiness, committed illegal acts by gathering in secret meetings at the private place of the high priest's house instead of holding official meetings. There was no denial of self, humility, or service among them. On this fifth Sunday in the season of Lent, I hope we will deeply reflect on the life of denying ourselves and taking our cross for the families to walk together in the journey of humility and service as taught by our Lord. Let us pray. God, who is always with us, we thank you for having us worship where you placed each of us. Grant us the grace to not only know in our head what is taught to us by the Lord who loved to the death on the cross, but to live according to the teaching in our lives. Please raise up faithful and true servants who can deny themselves in and around us. Father God, who is always suffering with us, there is much confusion in the world and many people are struggling to breathe in the midst of great pain and difficulties from COVID-19. Please remember the medical staff, public officials, and volunteers who are working hard to end the pandemic. Please help the present fear that's rampant not only in Korea but throughout the world to turn into faith. The despair and frustration to turn into hope, and the exclusion and hatred to turn into love to overcome these struggles. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.